Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show, The Rack Show. I am one of your hosts, Frank Horvath. Joined with me in studio is our other host, Mr. Tim Kelly. Tim, how are you doing on this fine day?
Fantabulous as always.
Fantabulous indeed. Man, we have an awesome show, and it was spurred by one of our listeners.
Yeah.
Super excited about that. We had Miss Watkins call us earlier in the week and said, hey, I got some questions. I have some things. I listen to your show from time to time, and I got some stuff that I want to know about. I want to learn more about. I have some questions about some things that are happening around me, and so we were like, yeah. So today's show is Miss Watkins' show. We're going to talk about all the things that she had brought up, and some different ideas. So if there are any other listeners that are out there that would like to reach out to us and ask us a few questions, feel free. Reach out. Phone number is 336-422-6859, 336-422-6859. And we would love to take in those questions, love to take in those comments. And I can't promise that we'll hit all of them, but we'll definitely do it due justice.
She definitely had a laundry list of excellent questions. I mean, that's how we're able to pretty well produce an entire show based on the questions that she had. They're all very good questions.
Yeah, no, definitely excited for that. So, one of the questions that she had was, look, I catch your show from time to time, but I can't always. How can I find you, throughout the week? How can I catch up on some past shows, things of that nature? The easiest way of going about doing that is on YouTube, right? So WSIC News YouTube has a lot of our past shows that are up there. Some not. The YouTube overlords tend to frown on some of that. But, there's quite a bit of our content that's on there. Reaching out to us via phone's also a great way. Also via email, rack@apachenc.com, rac@apachenc.com. And like I said, we'd love to have a conversation with you guys. So that's how you reach out, view some of our past shows. But the one incident, right, that really striked her interest, that she had a lot of questions, a lot of concerns, duly, rightfully so, I should add, was this incident that happened this past Monday down in Monroe. Monroe Walmart, 32-year-old, ended up walking into the Walmart and, just armed to the gills, had multiple firearms on his person, had a second chance vest, armored vest, whatever you want to call that, as well as a rifle, and semi-automatic rifle. And, concerned some people the way that he was doing that. It also, raised some red flags, to people immediately. So, again, rightfully so, some people called 911. And when law enforcement responded, there wasn't an incident. There was no, not a big fuss, anything like that. This person did have their firearms confiscated from him. And he was charged with, it was terror... I just had it. Going armed to the terror of the people.
In our world of work, we have to be familiar with a lot of these different charges, various ways that you can get yourself in trouble by carrying a gun in public. And this one has really slipped by me.
Yeah,
I had never heard of this charge.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those that it's easy to skirt across because it's not very popular. You don't hear about it very often at all. When we were doing a little bit of research, just pre-show on this particular charge, the reason why it ended up coming about was just some really nefarious, evil things that happened. What was it, 1968. That was State versus Dawson, and it's rough.
Right.
It really is rough. Now, I don't think that this person did anything remote, nefarious, close to what happened in the State versus Dawson case. However, there's definitely some elements of it that should give responsible armed citizens pause.
Sure. Right?
It's definitely some things that we should think about, definitely some things that we talk about. And I think that's going to be a pretty healthy part of what we're going to be talking about today. So, you know, the understanding Second Amendment rights, understanding there are you know, safe and appropriate ways of going about, you know, showing that, upholding your Second Amendment rights. But at the same time, there's smart ways of going about and handling it too. I don't necessarily think that this was the best approach and the best way of going in about.
Well, for sure.
You know,
obviously, a lot of other people agree. So what is this charge consist of, the arm to the terror of the people?
Yeah, so there are a few elements to it. Person guilty for this offense, and I'm reading directly off of North Carolina criminal law, their statutes. Person guilty of this offense arms him or herself with an unusual dangerous weapon for the purpose of terrifying others and goes about on public highways in a manner which to cause terror to the people.
So I'm not an attorney, but we do spend a lot of time studying this type of thing. And one of the things that really stands out to me is they're identifying intent.
Right,
100%. And that is one of the hardest things to really convict somebody of in other cases of like attempted murder, for instance, right? The person who's being accused of attempted murder pretty well has to come out and admit that they had every intentions of killing that person.
Right.
And that's it.
It's about the
only way they're going to get it charged with attempted murder.
Right.
Most of the time, it just comes out as a, it just slipped my mind. Help me out here.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I'll come back to that one. It'll come out with as something else. Is if they hurt someone significantly and cause serious bodily harm to that person, it's a different charge. It's not a. It's just a lesser degree, essentially. It's easier to charge somebody with that because it's harder to prove someone's intent. That's my point.
Right. Excuse me. And going right along with that, I really having to be able to dive in and prove that. Like, how does a state establish proof that, you know, this person's intent, like, this is what they were going to go and do. This was what they were planning the entire time. Again, you know, the individual is going to be the one that's going to put their own foot in their mouth. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever they may feel like, you know, they were on the right side of the law or they were doing things right. That's, you know, really going to be about, you know, how that all plays. Now, the piece that I find most interesting in this is in a manner to cause terror to the people.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that literally, in this day and age, that can literally be almost anything.
Right.
So if you have, we're pretty outspoken as far as, you know, our views, our beliefs, you know, things of that nature. If we were to go out and you know, do something, have some sort of act where we're demonstrating, you know, this is what we believe in, like, you know, so we'll say something along the lines of the Second Amendment, then if a majority of the people that are around us don't necessarily agree or they don't have the same point of view, we're begging for trouble.
Sure.
We're just asking for trouble.
Right.
So, yeah,
it's a delicate balance when especially when you're talking about, you know, your Second Amendment rights. It's a really delicate balance and as far as demonstrations and your right to protest and that type of thing, but especially when you're doing it individually and mm-hmm. there's no type of planned, you know, organized event. You know, it's easily interpreted as something to cause fear and create terror.
And see, I think there are absolutely, I know for a fact, there are better ways of going about and demonstrating, right, your right to carry, demonstrating, you know, the ability to be able to carry, to support those Second Amendment rights, and to be vocal about it. I definitely think that's something that we should continue to talk about. I definitely think that's something that, we'll follow up on the next segment on for sure. But you're listening to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. We're deep in discussion. We'll catch you guys after the break.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. I am Tim Kelly, and with me I have Frank Horvath, and we've been talking about everything revolving around the Responsibly Armed Citizen. Specifically, this is Mrs. Watkins' show. She's a caller who called in with some various list of very, very important questions, and we've been talking about one in specific right now, talking about the incident that happened in Monroe, North Carolina on March 25th in a Walmart where a gentleman walked in wearing all kinds of a giant get-up, bulletproof vest, had a whole bunch of guns on him and stuff. And we were talking about the charge that he ended up getting, which was he was being charged with armed to the terror of the people, and we're kind of diving into that charge and talking about the nuances involved in that. And the last thing that we were talking about was the description inside there is it was in a manner to cause terror to the people. Yep. Right. Yep. So what I got stuck on earlier was trying to prove intent right. in the court of law. Right. right. So when you say things like they were doing something in a manner to cause terror to the people, I mean, you're going to have a difficult time proving someone's intent. Right. And so an example of that would be instead of attempted murder, you end up getting charged with aggravated assault.
And those
are, yeah, those things are too confused. It was eating at me, dude. I had to.
at break, Tim was like, and it's going to hit me now. No.
something assault, aggravated assault. And yeah. Guys, I'm telling you, that is something to really look into is, you know, the number of aggravated assaults that take place versus the number of attempted murders. As I said, the difference between those two is the proof of intent.
Right.
Right. That's really the main difference. And I'll tell you, you'll have a different point of view on your quiet community of fun and happiness and joy and rainbows when you take a look at some of those statistics of your local area and how many aggravated assaults actually take place.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah, and I mean that's the crazy part. So the thing was this past weekend we had done a concealed carry class, or maybe it was a week before. I don't remember. Anyway, sometime in the past couple of weeks we had a concealed carry class and we had a lot of people that have a lot of questions as they should right mm-hmm. in those classes. That class is really focused on laws governing deadly force, mm-hmm. and within that. We really dive in and we discuss, look, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. There's evil in this world, right? And it's in your backyard. So let's take a look at some examples of those and really, really dive into it. And you would not believe it how many people go, I had no idea. I did not know that this right here was in my backyard. How much aggravated assault cases, how many, and that's reported at right. that, right? And if you start getting to these big populace centers, there's a lot of unreported crime. There's a lot of unreported situations where somebody was just thankful they got out of whatever the situation is, and that's the end of it. Like
right.
they don't report it, they don't go back, or it's an unwitnessed crime. You
right.
know, something happened, and because nobody was there to witness it, or nobody is there to report that there is a crime, then it goes unreported. So, it's not all sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, they don't record assumptions either.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, the big question is, let's just say, we are out in public, mm-hmm. right, and you see somebody that's just armed to the teeth, right? They're in their vest. They have their rifle. They have guns all over them. What do you do? What can you do?
We were just talking about intent. How the important question here is how do you identify what this person's intent is?
Right.
What is their temper and intent? Right. What's the attitude that they have? What's their objective?
Right.
They don't look like everybody else. They obviously stand out. He's walking around in a bulletproof vest, carrying a rifle in Walmart. How often do you see that?
Right.
You don't. It's obviously going to turn your head. Right. We'll talk about it later. But and there's a video out there where he talked with a reporter said that he his experience from the public was actually welcoming. People were laughing mm-hmm. and, giving him thumbs up and stuff like that, which tells me that his attitude was friendly.
It was positive. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a positive attitude. But still then, I'm sorry, guys. Bad guys don't generally look like bad guys.
Right.
Like, it's not, this isn't the movies. This isn't Batman and Robin. Bad guys don't stand out.
Right.
Just, you know, like that always.
Right. 100%. You know, the something, you know, again, also happened in Walmart. That may be a clue. But Arizona several years ago, there was, you know, this horrible actor went in, you know, fired a couple of, you know, quote unquote warning shots, you know, into the ceiling. And you know, started going on this whole, like, you know, rampage through the store, and he had an accomplice with him. The accomplice, there was another armed citizen that was there who wanted to intervene, and decided to intervene, but didn't identify the accomplice as a threat, right? Because it didn't look like she, in this case, didn't look like a bad guy,
right?
Didn't look like
a, she's pushing a shopping cart.
Literally pushing a shopping cart, and so you know, in that instance, you know, concealed carry citizen, right? Our third party that involved himself in this altercation lost their life at the end of the day because they got involved and they didn't recognize that threat. So, I mean, it just goes to show, like, not everybody has, you know, like you said, has the bad guy outfit that you know, just says, you know, I'm a bad guy that's running across me. Like, sometimes you just don't know. You have to take in all the information.
You know, and the information that you're given, you know, first off is what kind of gear does that person have on them? What are they capable of?
Right.
Like, even if they didn't mean any harm, if they chose to right now, they could end a lot of lives. They could cause a lot of harm. They could create a lot of damage. And, you know, my advice to anybody who runs across something like that, my first piece of advice, don't get involved.
Right.
Don't walk up to him and give him a thumbs up and a smile, right? I don't care if he's wearing a shirt that says, or waving a banner that says, support your Second Amendment rights. You don't need to be involved in that. That's not your monkey, not your circus, right? Get out.
Yep.
The best thing to do in that event is when something stands out to you, trust your gut and move on.
Right.
Leave. Get away from that the best way you possibly can. That's priority number one. Now, if you can't get away from that, then that's another story. You know, like navigating something like that, I mean, that's a really difficult one. You know, my best piece of advice, though, is just don't get involved.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, you know, third-party encounters, whether it be, you know, with, you know, armed defense, right, legal armed defense or not, generally don't work out. You know, why are you involving yourself in somebody else's mess, or why are you involving yourself in, you know, a third-party situation when you don't have to be?
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, and I know we've talked about this several shows back, you know, what is your mission? You know, for me and mine, Even if this person is, you know, doing what they think is right, they have the positive attitude, they don't appear to have, you know, any ill intent.
Right.
At the end of the day, man, I'm still going to be super cautious, and that's going to get in way of, you know, my ability to complete my mission, be able to go home to my family and support my family. So I'm not going to involve myself. I'm not going to worry about it.
And you're absolutely right. That's something that we ask a lot in our defensive handgun classes is, you know, what is your mission?
Right.
And a lot of the common, you'd be surprised at some of the common responses you get. And we have our students write down their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the class, you'll see a whole bunch of, like, they cross something out, black something out, replace it with something else. They have to reword it because you have to think about not just what's your mission. Well, my mission is to keep myself safe and other innocent lives around me safe. Okay, cool.
Broad.
Is that your mission? Great. At what cost?
Right.
What are you willing to sacrifice in order to accomplish this mission?
Right.
That's a really important question because if in this case, let's say that this gentleman was nefarious, like he did have an intent on going on some type of mass shooting spree. Now, that wasn't the case, but let's just say hypothetically that is what this case was. If you were to get involved, you have the way out, a clear way out, and you decide, I'm not going to let this person kill a bunch of people today. I'm not going to interfere, right? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself? Are you willing to sacrifice others that might be around due to your inability to make an effective hit?
Right.
What are your capabilities? What are your limitations? And that has to be something that's it's not made up.
Right.
You can't say I'm capable of doing something because I can hit a bullseye at the range.
Prove it.
But that's not the same thing as getting into a fight. You know, how many hours of training do you have in force on force scenarios and stuff like that? It's, you know, the same game, folks.
You know, and the other thing, and I hear it again a lot in the concealed carry classes, I'll arise to the occasion. probably not. You know, statistically speaking, you're not going to rise to the occasion. You're going to fall apart. You know, the you know, part of what Tim's talking about, you know, stress inoculation, especially with the force on force, especially with, you know, adding a lot of extra rigorous exercise involved, you know, when you're training, when you're you know, doing some purposeful, instructed training, right? That's where a lot of this, you know, really starts boiling down on you being able to make decisions on the fly, you can be able to perform, you know, to a high level automaticity in the moment, right? You know, and that's what the focus is. I mean, that's really why, you know, we all have individual missions, right? Mine's going to be 100% different than Tim's. Yep. Tim's different, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And we all have different consequences. We all have different risks that we're willing to assume or not.
Yeah.
You know, and because of that, you know, you have to make, as an individual, you have to make those decisions of, you know, what are your capabilities? What can you do? What can you do today? And what do you want to be able to do?
Right.
Yep.
And then go get training. You know, go seek out guidance. Go find somebody. You know, just like what Miss Watkins showed. Just like what Miss Watkins did, she had reached out and said, "Hey, and these are some other things that I'm thinking about. These are some other things that I'm considering." And you know, that's 100% where you're supposed to do, right? Just find somebody, right? Figure out. You know, I keep hearing this. I keep hearing you guys talk about, you know, training. I keep hearing you guys talk about, you know, being a responsible armed citizen. I want to know more, right? I need more, you know, help, you know, send me some more information so that, you know, I can progress, right? But again, all that starts now, right? Having a plan in place, and you're not going to have, like, the absolute nuts and bolts of every scenario. But you can at least role play a little bit and say, you know, hypothetically, if this were to happen right now in this this place, this is what my plan of action would be. Do I have the skills, the attitude, right, to be able to navigate the gear, to be able to navigate this situation? And if there's a deficiency there, great. Do something about it. Don't sit on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, I think in the next segment, we got a break coming up, but in the next segment, we need to talk about how to carry in public.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this is not the right way to do things. So what kind of guidance can we give to our audience on how to effectively and responsibly carry in public?
Yeah, 100%.
We'll be back right after this.
And welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. Yeah, I'm dying over here. Where we talk about all things Responsibly Armed Citizens should know. We're deep in discussion about, you know, Second Amendment, about, you know, coming across, you know, what somebody's intent is, carrying in public, things of that nature. So here is my question, Tim. Now, as a responsibly armed citizen, how can we, you know, how can we appropriately carry in public? Nice and easy.
So let's delve into the word that's kind of left out here, and I think not a lot of people pay close attention to: professionalism.
Right.
Being a professional, right? And if you're going out and you're spending your hard-earned money and your time and investing in yourself and your ability to save yourself in the event that you need to, it's really important that you take this responsibility seriously and carry yourself professionally. And if you're talking about concealing a handgun, a professional image in my mind of someone concealing a handgun is someone that blends in really well with the public, and you can't tell whether or not they're armed.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you have no idea. Like, I cannot tell you how many times when, you know, talking with somebody, right? So I'm interfacing with somebody in public, and through natural conversation, you know, whether they bring it up or I bring it up or something, right? Some natural progression of conversation, you know, firearms training ends up coming out. And what's the next thing that ends up happening, Tim? They're like, oh, are you carrying right now?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, well, that's pretty intimate to ask.
It's a very personal question. You shouldn't ask people that. Just so you know, please don't ask me that.
Yeah, don't ask.
Anywhere you see us in public, please don't ever ask us that question because I'll make it really awkward.
Yeah, yeah. Just stare at you like.
Are you going to ask me the color of my underwear next?
Right. No, but seriously, so like, you know, being a professional, especially, you know, if you're carrying concealed, nobody's going to know, right?
Right.
And, you know, stuff happens, you know, shirts get tagged, stuff like that.
Sure.
You may print or something like that where you can see like an outline of a firearm or something like that. You know, those, you know, you handle those situations as necessary. But for the most part, if you're a responsible armed citizen, nobody's going to know, right?
Right.
Now, I've seen and I've heard of far too many, you know, of the counter examples where, you know, people are, oh man, I got this new gun, check this out, right? And they're well, we talked about it our last show.
Yeah.
Right? Just, hey, check this thing out, or hey, take a look at this holster, or take a look at this piece of gear. And it's, you know, it's an etiquette thing, time and place, right? It's not very professional, especially in a public setting.
Right.
You know, really save that thing for, you know, in the privacy of your own home. And even then, you know, make sure that you have, you know, those safety considerations knocked out to where you're not just, you know, passing around a loaded firearm or something like that. I mean, there's better ways of going about doing that. But as far as in public, you know, I definitely think, especially in this day and era, you got to be extremely cautious. You have to be extremely careful about, you know, voicing your opinion on, you know, your right to carry and things like that, because there are far too many dissenters. And they're vocal,
right?
And they can really cause a big scene where that's not necessarily what you're trying to do.
Right. And, you know, the Second Amendment right, I mean, there's all the time, man, there's always an instance where somebody gets really emotionally invested in this.
Right.
Right. And don't get me wrong, like, I'm a big proponent of our Second Amendment 100%, rights.
Yep.
Ask me on the sideline what I think about certain things around the Second Amendment. We'll talk about that. But it's not appropriate to use a situation like this instance in Monroe, North Carolina. It's not appropriate to walk around flaunting a whole bunch of guns just to promote your Second Amendment rights, which is exactly what this gentleman was doing.
Right.
So he said he was a big proponent of the Second Amendment, and he thinks if you don't go out and support that, then you're bound to lose it. You're bound to lose your Second Amendment right. And I'm sorry, but that is not an effective way to convince others who don't see things the way that you do.
Right.
Right. It's not an effective way to show them that you are responsible with a handgun or with a gun in general. You know, he talked about how, you know, he's not just an average Joe with his gun. He's had training, so he knows what he's doing. When you watch the video, though, we tore it apart in seconds.
Right.
Like, no, you're carrying a 1911 appendix without a holster. And the hammer's not cocked, so you're not carrying one in the chamber. Even if you are, okay, don't get me started.
Yeah. my down a rabbit hole we go.
Like, it's just the wrong way to go about doing it.
Right.
If you're going to be a professional, you should, and you want to stand up for your Second Amendment rights, you should be doing something in a manner to try and show anybody else who might think differently than you that this is okay.
Right.
Right? And that's the point. The point is to change minds.
Yep.
Right? Yep. The point is to educate, not to...
Intimidate. Right.
Right? And you know, his idea of there's been a whole lot of mass... He said this. So there's been a whole lot of mass shootings, and he wanted to make sure that he was protected. So that's the reason why he had the bulletproof vest. That's the reason why he had a rifle, a Rhino revolver.
Yep.
Big
hoorah.
Fan, big fan
I
of rhinos.
I love rhinos.
Those are so much fun.
So much fun.
And he had a Glock handgun, it looked like. And so he had three guns on him, one of them being a long gun, and he's blatantly standing out in front of everybody else, right? And he's touting this as a way that he's going to remain protected. Right. Well, we all know and understand that it doesn't matter if you've got 15 guns on you. That does not mean anything.
Right.
Right? The element of surprise is worth all three of those handguns. 100%. the element of surprise is worth all three of those handguns.
And the part that bothers me, I don't want to say most, but another piece of that really bothers me is, you know, about the way that he went about doing this. And in my point of view, I think he has done more harm, right, to, yes. you know, to supporting Second Amendment than he does good. You know, so, you know, he's armed to the teeth, and, you know, he has all this stuff, and he's doing interviews with other news agencies. What is on the headline of almost every single one of these articles that we read? What is on the headline of almost every news article that we read? Yeah. You know, man with an assault-styled, you know, rifle, you know, completely detracts from, you know, what his goal is, right? And on top of that, like, it just makes it harder, makes it worse for other, you know, responsibly armed citizens, like truly responsibly armed citizens, you know, the ones who are going out and training and practicing, and the ones who are really, you know, being professionals and taking this thing seriously.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go stand out, if you're going to go do a demonstration or protest, at least have some type of education, Do 100%. A Google search on changing people's minds, right? And that should be your intent if you're going to go to these demonstrations or you're going to go to these and do these protests. I'm 100% for it, man. I'm 100% for the, you know, standing up for your Second Amendment rights. I know that we're under attack. A lot of our shows get shadow banned just because we bring up the subject of guns,
right?
I get it, and it's frustrating, but you should approach this with professionalism.
Right. Yeah, and you know, if you're going to do like a rally or something like that, if you're going to be in a group, you know, do so smartly. I mean, there are ways, there are, you know, certain hoops that you should jump through to make sure that you're, you know, beyond reproach and, you know, according to, you know, color of the law, making sure that, you know, everything is squared away, everything is good. And so that you're not, you know, riding this fine line of, okay, am I in the gray? Are we doing this in the terror of the people or not? I mean, there's so many other things that you can do, similar to this. You know, it's not the same thing, but, you know, again, in our field, we do a lot of research. We're constantly looking up different things. You know, these individuals who come and do like these audits, right? These Second Amendment audits, what we'll call them, and, you know, they're armed to the teeth and walk in police station, things like that. Like, you're doing nothing but detracting from what we're trying to accomplish here. I mean, you know, doing so in smart ways, getting involved in other organizations, voting, vote. I mean, that right there is going to be the thing that's what matters, right? And being vocal, you know, reaching out to your local senators, reaching out, you know, to your local congresspeople, you know, and making sure that they understand, you know, this is where I stand on this, this is where we as a community stand on this, and this is what we would like to see accomplished, right? This is the direction that we want our nation to go in. You know, again, you know, without just, you know, beating a dead horse, you know, there are better ways of going about doing this.
Right.
And you know, just far too many people go to the, we'll call it a more extreme route, as individuals, and say, this is what we're going to do because I think this is what makes a difference. But in the long run, right, it's not a good look. It really hurts. It really detracts us.
So at Apache, we have all kinds of people, all different walks of life. I mean, you have everything from, you know, a janitor to a doctor, right? And in young, old, female, male, completely different walks of life, right? If you could only see what we see, you know, what we've created there, the environment that that these people are attracted to is not what a lot of people imagine in their head.
Right.
You know, when a lot of folks think of an armed citizen, they picture this guy.
Right.
And that's so frustrating to me, who's, you know, somebody who's trying to change a stigma in a community. Stop trying to picture us as this tactical Timmy, essentially, walking around Walmart trying to prove a point. We aren't that person.
Right.
We are not that person. We're a 75-year-old woman carrying a handgun in Walmart, and you'll never know it.
Right.
She's going there to buy, you know, I don't know, something to bake.
Right.
Right. We're the 21-year-old young man who has just moved out on his own and got himself an apartment and is walking to and from his house or whatever, to and from the gym or something.
Yep.
And he's carrying a gun to protect himself, but you will never know it. You know, that's who we are. Stop visualizing us as this person. We are not that person.
And you know, and the other thing is, you know, quit shoving us in boxes, right?
Right.
So, you know, again, same thing. If you guys, the listeners, could only be flies on the wall,
yeah.
You know, you're talking, you know, people from completely different political backgrounds, yeah. Right? I mean, it's not just as black and white as you may seem. There's people from all age groups, you know, races, sizes, genders. I mean, the whole nine yards.
Political views.
I mean, the commonality that we have is, look, we want to be responsibly armed citizens, and we're seeking out training. We're looking at doing things. You know, we can have completely polarizing views as far as how we view the world.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we both see the need of being a responsibly armed citizen, and we want to do the best that we can so that, you know, we're doing things as safely as possible.
Absolutely. And folks, that is how you effectively carry in public in a professional manner.
Yep.
Start viewing this community as professionals and not somebody who's just going to walk around in public to try to intimidate others or try to shove something down someone's throat. That's not what we're about. And that's not just Apache. This is the large training community that exists out there. That is the image that we want to represent.
Yep.
You know, we don't want to represent intimidation. We want to represent professionalism. Let's talk a little bit more about us supporting our Second Amendment rights when we come back from our next break.
And welcome back to the Sponsor Armed Citizen Show, where we've had a fantastic time talking about our Second Amendment rights. Again, this was all spurred on by some comments by one, a listener that's out there, Ms. Watkins, who, you know, had some really great things, really great questions. And so, you know, got off on a little bit of tangent talking about, supporting Second Amendment rights and how to do it and how to do it right. You know, the something else that I think is extremely important is, you know, just like we had talked about, you know, there's all different, you know, backgrounds and ages and you know, genders, the whole nine yards. But there are some classes that are coming up, right? Some lady-specific classes that, you know, Apache's offering that to really help that out. You know, and I think that that's a common misnomer. There's
right.
a common misnomer that's out there that, you know, guns and gun stuff, that's a guy thing, right?
Right.
That's us. That's you know, as protectors, that is hoo-ha-ha. That is our job. Let me tell you. There are some ladies out there. There are some spouses. There are some wives out there just sitting in this room alone that are can handle their own, right?
Yeah.
And do can do work. You know, God forbid they ever had to. But you know, it can be intimidating, especially for
right.
you know for lady folk to, you know, okay, well, I'm thinking that I'm going to go to this class, I'm going to be the only lady, and you know, I have this concern here, and you know, I need to, you know, I have this thing over here that I need to take care of that's maybe a little bit different than the guys in the class. So there's a lot of other concerns that we hear from our female students that you know we have heard we and we're taking in stride. So as part of that, you know, we're offering some ladies only classes, just saying, hey, look, you know, this one's for ladies, dudes, you're gonna have to catch the next one. This group is, you know, solely focused on our female students. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't think about, or a lot of people don't consider, is you know, women are far often better shooters than men are.
Yeah.
Right. Physiologically, they're better built for it.
Right.
And, you know, but at the same time, there's also some other concerns with, you know, in respect to gear, in respect to,
right.
you know, handguns, things like that, that some male-forward gear, male-forward stuff just don't work well for ladies.
Right.
So, you know, we're able to introduce, you know, a female student to, you know, different options, different guns, different things that, you know, fit their lifestyle a little bit better.
Mm.
So that they're able to be that responsible armed citizen, and they
right.
feel empowered. They're like, all right, I feel more better walking to, you know, my car after, you know, shopping or going
sure.
to the grocery store, whatever it may be, right?
And
insert your thing here. So Tim, tell us a little bit about that. What's some stuff that's coming up? How does Apache help out with our female focused
sure.
students?
All right. So this was originally spurred on a couple of years ago when we started sponsoring essentially a a girl and a gun chapter.
Right.
So that is now being facilitated by my wife, Teresa Kelly. She is the facilitator for the Yadkin Valley, a girl and a gun chapter. Now, you can check out agirlandagun.org and learn more about that organization. Essentially, it is a group of ladies that get together and learn gun stuff, get to know each other, and work together and help support each other in this new journey of learning about firearms.
Right.
And, you know, the more they get involved in that, the more people that come out and start to train, the more people that are starting to become interested in classes and stuff. So, and really interesting analysis that we come across a while back was, we are now about 50-50 in terms of attendance and female audience and male audience.
Audience.
So the attendees rather than audience, we're about 50-50 in female and male. So that kind of got me thinking. I'm like, man, that's awesome. That is so cool. We've been striving to achieve this for a long time, but we really haven't
captured that, worked towards that, did anything special for that, right?
Yeah, we didn't do anything special to really achieve that. We've just tried to be open as much as we possibly can to any walk of life, you know,
right.
Anyone that wants to walk in. We believe that everybody reserves the right to self-defense, you know, so we want to help you the best way we possibly can. So when I seen that 50-50, I'm like, man, how come we don't see that in our classes? You know, we're probably like less than 10% in our workshops and our courses. We see female attendance. We don't see a lot of females taking our classes. Why is that? You know, and so the more we started digging into it, that ran some polls on InstaFace, and a lot of ladies chimed in and said and sent messages, comments, and stuff like that. And says, well, we'd really like to see ladies-only classes. A lot of times it can be really intimidating going out and being amongst a bunch of males.
Yep.
And it's just not something I've never really considered because I'm not a female.
Right.
You know, I'm used to doing gun stuff, and I never really cared who is in the class with me.
Right.
If it's male, if it's female, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
You know, they do.
Right.
For them, for some of them, it does really matter.
It's a comfort thing.
Yeah,
right.
It makes a difference, especially if you have a beginner or somebody that's new and just getting started. They're nervous as it is, you know, and now they're concerned with, you know, I've got to be in a line with a whole bunch of other people, and I don't know what I'm doing. And it's a bunch of males. They're obviously going to be better and scarier than me. So
they would think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So they're intimidated. But so there's a lot of these assumptions that really keeps them from coming out. And so we decided this year we were going to do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so we labeled a couple of our classes ladies only. So we are only accepting female attendance and a couple of our different workshops that we have coming up. So we wanted to make sure that when we do this, we're being rather delicate with the approach, and make sure that we want to welcome anybody who's never really been out before, right? So the first class we're going to be doing is on April 12th, and we're going to do a recoil control workshop. It's only 4 hours for $100. You're going to come out and learn how to better control recoil, right? And there's a lot to be gained for the student in this
right.
workshop.
Right.
And you don't have to have some elaborate experience behind a handgun.
Right.
You leave that up to us. We will help you with that, right? You're going to be amongst other ladies in there. Some of them are going to be more experienced. Some of them are still brand new too. And that's perfectly fine. It's a welcoming environment. There's a lot of good people that are going to be present.
And that's the thing, right? So one of the best parts about, you know, doing like the ladies only classes and stuff is the networking that follows afterwards, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, being able to say, hey, look, you know, you're a lady, here you go, Tim, you're a lady, I'm a lady. let's do lady things together. No, but you know, being able to like share and compare, hey, this particular type of gear, this idea, you know, this place that I frequent, you know, you also frequent, how do you go about, you know, managing that or manipulating that? You know, I don't regularly think about Like hardly ever am I concerned that somebody's going to come up and assault me,
right?
Not, especially not sexually, especially not in the same manner that somebody potentially could assault a female.
Right.
And, you know, because of that, I have no frame of reference to be able to help, you know, guide and nurture that, where some of our other lady instructors or some of our, you know, other lady students, female students, can relate, and they can give that point of view. So, I mean, there's such a wealth of knowledge just by going and socializing and communicating with others.
So another main reason why we chose the subject of recoil control, again, this is April 12th from 1 to 5 p.m., so a four-hour class, $100, and we're going to be talking about recoil control. That tends to be one of the major concerns for ladies is I have a hard time taming this gun. It goes off in my hands. It flops around like a fish out of water. I can't tame it. That's what this class is for, and we see a lot of great positive results for that. I mean, we're going to be teaching it out in Colorado. We'll be teaching it in Texas. We've taught it for years now, and we've seen a lot of great results from it. So I would encourage anybody to come out. Now, the other subject that we wanted to make sure that we brought to light was, you know, a lot of ladies talk about how, you know what, I'm not ready to carry a gun just yet. Mm-hmm. But I do want to make sure I have a way to protect myself and my home.
Right.
And so Zach Cox has agreed to do a ladies-only Rules of the Gauge shotgun workshop. So this, again, open to any walk of life, as long as you're female.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what your experience is. Doesn't matter if you have a gun. It doesn't matter if you have ammo. Doesn't matter if you have ears, eyes, anything. You just come as you are. If you don't have a gun, we will outfit you with one. If you don't have ammo, we will outfit you with one. You will be able to learn alongside the other females in the class under the instruction of a professional like Zach Cox.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, something else that's absolutely awesome, especially in that particular class, is a shotgun is so easy to pick up. It's so easy to manipulate. It takes no time at all to spend somebody who has really never even touched a shotgun before to where they're able to proficiently hit a target. It is a fantastic choice for a home defense gun in most situations, many situations. That's absolutely awesome.
You want to talk about empowerment,
right?
I mean, a shotgun is it's viewed, its image is like, oh my God, that thing is going to knock you on your butt or something like that. I love seeing ladies get behind the house howitzer.
Yep.
Because they can run it just like me, or better, some of them.
Yep.
You know, my wife can run a shotgun better than me.
Yes, she can.
But it's a little embarrassing. But my point is it's a huge eye-opener for folks, man.
Right.
They get out there and they see that and they're like, oh crap, maybe I can do this.
Yep.
That's really what we're looking for. So if you're looking to, maybe incorporate a shotgun into your home defense strategy, then that's where to go.
And you're female.
And you're a female. Yeah, got to be a female for that one.
Yeah. That, like I said, that class is just absolutely phenomenal. And like I said, no gun needed, right?
Yep.
No ammo needed. Nothing needed. We can organize all that for you. We had some friends over at SCS Imports that are sending us a number of shotguns and things like that to use for classes. So we're able to handle that need and introduced, for in that particular class, or other female students and get a little bit of empowerment going on and help develop that the beginnings of that home strategy.
Right.
So,
hey, we only have 30 seconds left. Do you think we should talk about Competency of the Month?
For like 20 seconds.
All right.
Go.
Here we go. So audience, listen up. We have what we call our Competencies of the Month. And this month it is home defense strategies. What we need from you, send us an email, shoot us a text message, just a phone call, 336-422-6859 or rack@apachenc.com. And let us know your thoughts and your ideas for home defense strategies. Until then, I think we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Awesome show, Frank.
Yeah, awesome show. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.